Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for Justin, and we ask your Holy Spirit would fill him now with the words that you have for us to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to hear what you have for us. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor Bob. Good morning. I'm glad to be here this morning, and I really want to appreciate Pastor Bob for inviting me to come speak. There's a beautiful story in the Bible. It talks about after Jesus' ascension, Peter was arrested and he was to be killed by Herod. Before that time, before the arrest of Peter, James was arrested and killed by Herod. So when Peter was arrested by the same Herod and placed in a prison, the disciples began to pray for Peter's release. As they prayed, they began to pray through all night. And one particular night they were praying. And as a result of their prayers, God sent an angel to the prison where Peter was kept. And God supernaturally, through this angelic intervention, released Peter from this maximum prison custody. But the story goes that Peter went to where they were praying for him. It was at night. And he knocked at the door. A little girl named Rhoda had to go to the door. And when she heard the voice, she might have said, "Who is there?" And Peter must have said, "I am." So, because she was familiar to Peter's voice. So when she heard Peter's voice, she did not open the door because of joy. She was overwhelmed with joy. What she did was that she ran back to the room where people were praying for Peter and told them to stop praying, that Peter had already been released and that Peter was the one knocking at the door. This man said to the little girl, Rhoda, "It can't be true." Then Peter kept knocking, and the lady persistently interrupted the prayer to say that it was Peter knocking. Then this man said, "Well, it must be his ghost." Eventually, while Peter kept knocking at the door, the girl kept disturbing them, and they eventually opened the door, and behold, Peter was there standing. Now, my question is this. If they were not expecting God to answer their prayers, why were they praying in the first place? I think I have some idea why they couldn't believe that God could intervene or answer their prayers. Number one is that it had never, ever been heard in the history of Herod's prison that anyone ever escaped from that prison. So, humanly speaking, it was an impossible situation. But secondly, you have to realize that we are serving a God that can do things which, humanly speaking, is impossible. You have to realize that our God is the maker of the whole world. He created the whole world in the first place. And things which are impossible to us as people, as human beings, are very possible with God. So, these are men that were trained by Jesus Christ himself. These were men who graduated from Jesus Bible Institute. And yet, they were praying in unbelief. And I want to tell you why. Because, although they were praying, but they were not expecting the answer to their prayers. You see, the Bible said to watch and pray. It's not enough to be praying. It's good to pray, but praying is not going to do all the job. We need to be praying at the same time. We need to be in expectancy. We need to develop the mindset of expecting God to do that which we are asking Him to do. So, our mentality, our mindset should be engaged in our prayer lives. If you are asking God to do something, you equally need to be looking out for that which you are asking God to do. Because if the disciples of Jesus Christ were actually expecting God to release Peter, it would be a good news when Rhoda came and said, "You stop praying. Peter is the one knocking there." They would have jubilated, jumped up, hit the roof, and rushed to the door and said, "Yeah, God have answered our prayers." But they didn't do that because they were not expecting God to do that, what they were asking for. But you see, sometimes God sets aside our unbelief and still do what He want to do in order to encourage us. What a mighty God we serve. He's a loving, caring God. He knows what you're going through this morning. He knows all the difficulties that confront you. He knows all the pains that you're passing through. He knows all the problems that surrounds you. And He can reach around, He can reach across and give you a helping hand. But He wants you to also be in the mood of expectation. God wants us to be with a mind frame of longing and looking forth to that which we're expecting Him to do. So this morning I will be talking with us on a very important topic: believe God for great things. Why should we believe God for great things? Because we are serving a great God. I'm not talking about what you can do for yourself. I'm not talking about what someone can do for you. I'm not talking about what the government can do for us. We are talking about what God can do. Because if we talk about what God can do, what we can do for ourselves, we talk about what the government can do for us, we talk about what we can do for one another, then we don't really need God. We can just go ahead and do what we can do because we can handle it. But we are talking about when we come to a place when we cannot really help ourselves. Like the story I shared with you this morning, James was already arrested and killed. When Peter was arrested, this man began to pray because they knew there was no way they could intervene. They could not even, politically, they were not connected to send any representative on behalf of themselves. So they don't have what it takes. But there's something they got. That is prayer. They began to watch. They began to pray. They began to block out the night. When people were sleeping, they began to pray and seek the face of God. And God began to move. And I believe that today, if we do the same thing, God is going to move. If you're going to have time to seek the face of God, God can still step in and turn your situation around. It doesn't really matter. Someone may say, "Well, Pastor Justin, you don't really know what I'm going through. You don't really know how difficult my situation is. You don't really know what confronts me." I don't have to know, but God knows. And if God knows, that's all you need. We're going to be reading from 2 Kings. There's a story in 2 Kings that I want to read it through so that you can see a full picture of some of the things we're going to be discussing this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. And I read here. Number 1 verse. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, now I'd like you to note from this point, this is where we are going to be discussing mostly, but I wanted you to see the full picture first. It says, verse 9, "When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit.' Elisha replied." Verse 10. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly, a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them. What do we see here? Elijah was coming to the end of his ministry, and he was going to go to heaven. He asked Elisha. Elisha had been a disciple, a servant to Elijah. And Elijah asked Elisha, "What would you want me to do for you?" Elisha's desire was that he be endued with a double portion of the anointing in the life of Elijah. But Elijah replied and said, "Elisha, look, what you've asked for is difficult. However, if you are going to see me when I am living, you're going to have it." Why was it so important for Elisha to see Elijah being taken in order to have what he wanted? Why was it so important? Now, if you look back to the story we read, you see that even the sons of the prophets came and said to Elisha, "Do you know that your boss, your master, is going to be taken today?" So apparently, the prophet had an insight of what was going to happen. But Elisha said to them, "Don't even talk about it." And Elijah said several times to Elisha, you just hang on here. God has sent me to Jericho, to Gilgal, to Jordan." But Elisha wouldn't allow himself to be separated from Elijah. Why? Because Elisha was a young man who was very focused. He knew what he wanted from God, and he was so focused in getting it. And I want you to also know that someone may say, well, Elisha needed the double portion of the anointing so that he can do ministry. Now, it's not just for ministry. He was a minister. He was a prophet. Yes, he needed an anointing to be able to function. But also, in our time as Christians, you don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be a minister. You just need to be you. And you still need God's power to function on the realm of the supernatural. Because God's power is still available for you today. If you go to the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse number 12, it says that as many as receive him, as many as believe him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that have received him. So when we receive Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior into our heart, that empowers you to have God's power operating on your behalf. That it doesn't really matter what is going on in your life today. As a child of God, God has empowered you to rise above every circumstance that comes your way. It doesn't matter the disappointments you've gone through in life. There is enough power in God with you to rise above it and still become a successful person in your vocation, in your life, in your business, in running your family. Those of us who are called by God to be ministers of the gospel have the same power working for us. Also, we still need that same power to work, to operate in our family and be good parents. Also, you, in your vocation, need that same power to become a successful Christian. But having this power is not enough. We have to understand that this power has to be used. We have to know how to utilize this power. Amen. Do not settle. Some of the points we are going to look at this morning is point number one, the key to greatness. Point number two, what are you looking at? Point number three, the power of imagination. And the last point, attend to God's word. Some of the thoughts that we're going to look at also is do not settle for small things. God can do great things in your life. You must focus on God's word. Now, when we talk about what God can do, I want you to pay close attention to this. When we talk about what God can do, we are talking about what God has promised in his word that he is going to do. Because God's word is God. If you are going to just do it your own way or do it the way people say it should be done, then God has no responsibility to make good his word on your behalf. But if you are going to commit to doing what you know that God's word says, that opens the door of God's power to work on your behalf. So we are talking about seeing what God's word says and staying focused on what God has promised in his word. Because if God has made you a promise, he is so much behind his promise that he is going to keep his word. But the key to receiving from God is that we need to be able to see what God is saying. In that case, you need to be able to look beyond circumstances. Look beyond your difficulties. And be able to find out what is God saying about what I'm going through. And when you find out what God is saying, you need to set aside the way things are in the natural and begin to trust God and begin to focus on God and begin to see actually what God's word has promised. Elisha knew what he wanted, and he was very focused. He said, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to allow myself to lose sight of the promises I know that God has made to me. God has promised to bless you. God has promised to heal your sick body. God has promised to save your loved ones. So we can look into God's word and be there focused and just believe God for what God has said that he's going to do. We want to look at point number one here. The key to greatness. If you can see it, God can do it. Seeing through the eyes of faith. See God at work on your behalf. We need to be able to see God at work on our behalf. You know the story of Lazarus? Lazarus was a brother to Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha were so committed in the ministry of Jesus Christ that when Lazarus was about to die, Mary and Martha sent message to Jesus Christ to come that something was going on in the life of Lazarus, but Jesus did not go immediately. After Lazarus had died, embalmed and buried, suddenly Jesus showed up. And Mary said something to Jesus. Mary and Martha said something to Jesus. You know what they said? They said, Lord, if you had been earlier, if you had come before now, our brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said to them, I am the resurrection. They said, no, we know that on the last day he's going to raise from death. Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection. If you believe in me. It took Jesus some time to persuade these two sisters to give their consent to open the grave or the tomb or to roll away the stone. The old King James says, roll away the stone. Eventually, Jesus persuaded Mary and Martha to give their consent for the grave to be opened. And when the grave was opened, Jesus called Lazarus back to life. I don't know what is happening in your life today. You may feel that God has been too late. But I want to say something to you, that God is never too late to bless you. God is never late to do your miracle for you. All you need to do is to be consistent in your trust in God. Someone said, well, you don't know what I have lost. He walked out on me. He deceived me. I was cheated upon. God knows all that. If you are going to be faithful in your commitment to God, God has got what it takes to turn your situation all the way around and still give you a better future. God has got what it takes to step in and still bless you with a better family. God has got what it takes. Now, do you know one thing about God is that if it requires an angel, God can send angel on your behalf. Someone say, well, Justin, you don't know that angels don't really work today. No, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did before, he can still do today on your behalf. But like Mary and Martha, they said, well, Jesus, you are late. But I want to say to you that God is never late. He can even reopen your case. They say, well, you forget about it. Nothing can be done about it. I say, if you can believe God, God can turn it around for you. God can still meet you at the very point of your desperation. God can still step into your case and show you a way out. All we need to do is to be able to see beyond the problems and look at what God's word has to say. Point number two. What are you looking at? There's a beautiful story in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 12. I want to read it for you here. It says, the word of the Lord, it came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. Verse 12. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The problem we have today is that a lot of us are seeing incorrectly. But God said to this young prophet, Jeremiah, what are you seeing? Why should God ask Jeremiah a question? What are you seeing? The reason is that it's very important for God. Because if God is going to do something in your life, he wants you to be able to see him doing it even before he does it. A lot of us want to agree with God only when it has been done. Now, if it has been done, you don't need God. You don't need faith. But for you to believe God and to see it before it happens, you need faith. And faith comes from knowing what God had said. So God said to Jeremiah, what are you seeing? God wanted to be sure that Jeremiah was focused. He was looking at the writing. And he said to God, I see you healing my sick body. And he said to God, I see you restoring my family today. And God hasn't done it yet. Are you going to be able to say to God this morning, Father, I just see you blessing my children. I see you healing my marriage. I see you blessing my family. I see you giving me the promotion that I desperately need in my place of job. I see you. Can you just say, Lord, I see you. Amen. That is before you even receive it. That is what faith is all about. Because if you're going to wait until you see it, you don't need faith. It's not faith. I'm talking of F-A-I-T-H. How do you pronounce it, Bob? Faith? I'm sorry. Faith? Yes. So God wanted to be sure that Jeremiah was focused and seeing the writing. And you know what God said to him? God said, well, because you have seen it, I am going to do it. The reason a lot of us are not really receiving from God is because we're not seeing it. But if you are going to see it, God is going to do it. Because he said to Jeremiah, because you have seen correctly, I am going to make it good for you. I'm going to perform it. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to bless you. Whatever it is from God's word that you can really see, God is capable of doing. But we need to see it. We need to see it. How do you perceive your life? Do you see everything falling apart? God's word reveals God's plan for you. See beyond your present circumstances. And this is what Elijah had to go through with Elisha. He wanted to be sure that Elisha was focused. And because Elisha was focused, he was able to get exactly what he desired. Point number 3, the power of imagination. I want to see something in Genesis chapter 11, verse number 6. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. This was at the Tower of Babel. You know the story after the descendants of Noah began to build. What were they building? A tower to get to heaven. God came down to look at what they were doing, and God said something very interesting. If you go to King James Version of the Bible, this is the way it renders it. It said that this they have begun to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they ever imagined to do. So we are talking about imagination. Using your imagination to visualize through the word of God the promises of God to you in the scriptures. Often we use our imaginations for a lot of negative things, but it's difficult for some of us to actually visualize or imagine your sick body being well, or imagine your family being a happy family, or imagine your business doing well. You see, God wants us to use our imagination. The Bible said that as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. God wants us to be able to do some positive daydreaming. Because we are in the day of the Holy Spirit. Remember the day of Pentecost? The story goes that Peter preached and several thousands of people got born again. And they asked Peter, what are we supposed to do? He said to them, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. For this is the promise of God. And one of the promises that Peter mentioned is that your young men shall see vision. What do you understand by seeing vision? To see vision simply means that you see through the Word of God. See the promises of the Bible. What has God promised you? See it and see yourself in possession of God's promises. It's all in the Bible. Reflect on what God says to the point that it becomes so real to you. I remember when I bought my first car. I bought the car. I drove the car home. And my daughter, Grace, she said to me, "Dad, how come you could drive the car home? Did you learn to drive?" I said, "Yes, I have been driving in my imagination. Because I was without this car for so long, but each day, I just spent some time daydreaming, looking at, seeing myself, you know, driving that car. So the day I bought this car, I just drove this car home. I drove it home." So we need to be able to see ourselves, you see, by continually looking at the Word of God. Faith sees the answer. The reason we find it difficult to believe God in certain areas of our lives is because we are not seeing it. We don't see what God says. We only see what we are going through. But God wants us to take away our eyes from the way things are and begin to look at things the way His Word said that it should be. And that is what opens the door for the supernatural and for the miraculous in your life. Put your mind to work. Positive daydreaming. See a better tomorrow. When you look at your life, what do you see? Do you just focus on the things that are not working well? But things can still work well for you. God can still bless you. God can still meet you at the points of your need. We are talking about what God can do. We are not talking about what someone can do. We are talking about our God, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Someone say, "Well, if God is in control, how come a lot of things are going bad?" God is still in control. And God can still step in your life individually and resolve some of the problems that you're going through today. But you need to be able to see God at work in your circumstances. You need to be able to believe that God can do it for you. You need to be able to see God doing it for you. We're going to be rounding up on point number 4. It says, attend to God's word. I'm going to read from Proverbs 4:20-22. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to man's whole body." God's word says, "My son." Someone said, "Well, he's talking about the man," but no. There's no masculine gender. When God's word says, "My son," he's talking to daughters and sons, men and women at the same time. What does he say there? "My son, my daughter, attend to my word." God wants us to pay close attention to what his word says. God wants us to pay very close attention. When we read the Bible in the morning, when we come to church on Sunday morning and Pastor Bob is ministering the word of God, God expects us to pay close attention to those things he is teaching from the Bible. Not just paying close attention, but we need to move to the next level of doing exactly what God's word expects of us. Not just doing our own things, but doing what God expects of us. He said, "Pay close attention to my word, to what I have to say. Listen closely to my word. Do not let them out of your sight." What do I mean here? Letting God's word out of your sight? Does he mean I have to take the Bible every day, reading the Bible when I'm walking on the street? I'm holding the Bible this way when I'm driving. I'm holding the Bible when I'm driving. No, you're going to have accidents. But it simply means that what God's word says has to be so real in our mind that we can just think about it. Now, let me show you something before I close. If you look at a coin has got two sides. The other side is the way things are with you today, all the problems you're going through, all the disappointments you've gone through life. But the other side of the coin talks about what God can do for you, the restoration that God has promised you, the blessings that God has promised you, the healing that God has promised you. But you have a responsibility. You may choose to focus on the way things are, or you may choose to flip the coin on the other side and see what God says. That's what he's saying here. Don't let my word, my promises depart out of your eyes. It says, verse 21, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. God's word produces healings. But if God's word is going to produce healings for you, you need to be able to see it. You need to be able to see God healing your sick body. You need to be able to see God blessing you. You need to be able to see God meeting you at the point of your needs. Because if God has promised it, he's going to do it. What if you don't know the promise? What if you don't know that God can do it? What if you've not even heard about it? But even after you have known about it, you've heard about it, you still need to be focused on the word of God. Memorize those verses of the scripture that you're expecting God to do for you. I remember years back when I was newly born again and I was a life insurance salesperson. And I was struggling with certain issues in my life. So, in order to help me remember what God's word promises, I had to take a piece of cardboard, two by four cards, and I have to write some of these verses. In order for me to remember, I had to stick this Bible scripture into my shoe, into my shirt pocket, the cloth I'm going to wear tomorrow to work. So that when I get up in the morning, as I'm putting on my shirt, the card that has a verse in my pocket. When I'm putting on my shoes in the morning, I can remember to remove it and put it in my pocket. Because I was just trying to remember, to remind myself. I had to do something to remind myself. Because the devil is going to do everything to make you to forget. So you're going to be able to develop a method that helps you to remember God's promises. Today, I can just, from my heart, speak out so many scriptures. It has taken me years to come to that place. I know what God's word says. So when I come out, when I come into situations, I could just reflect and the Holy Ghost will quicken a scripture in my heart because I have taken time to store the word of God in my heart. Now I want to say something to you. Some of us find it difficult to believe God in certain areas of our life. The reason is because we don't have the capacity in our heart to believe God. Why is it so? Because we've not taken the time to build God's word into our hearts. God's power is in his word. So the more of God's word you have in your heart, the more capacity you will have to believe God. It will be very easy for you to believe God, that God is going to do what he says that he's going to do for you. Faith sees the answer. Let's go back just to the last point. Faith sees the answer through God. Faith sees the answer through God's word. Cultivate higher capacity of faith. By continually looking at the word, faith sees the answer. Look beyond your problems. Circumstances are subject to change. If you can see it, God can do it. Faith feeds on God's promises. The problems you go through in life are subject to change. Most of the difficulties we go through in life are subject to change. And if you're going to expect God to change and to help you out, you need to be able to find out what God's word says about what you're going through. You need to be able to cultivate the habits of looking at those promises on a daily basis. If possible, write them out. Memorize it. Say it yourself. And connect with your imagination. Connect with seeing it, daydreaming about what if God has promised that he's going to bless you. See you in possession of that blessing. See yourself through the eyes of faith. And God is going to come true for you. Lastly, we want to see the last point. God is a good God. Blessings are possible. Miracles are possible. Healings are possible. God can save your loved ones. But the question is, what are you seeing? What are you looking at? What are you focusing upon? If you're going to spend all your time looking at things the way it is, or no one is helping me, things are just going bad for me, that is the way it's going to be. But if you're going to set aside the present situation and be able to look at the word of God, the Bible has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says that the young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that trust in the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So instead of talking about, oh, no one is helping me, you need to be able to see God on your side, because he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even when your loved one leaves you, you need to see yourself accompanied by God. You need to be able to see it. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Even when it seems as if nothing is working for you, you need to be able to see God as your shepherd. Let us pray. Precious Father, can we just stand to our feet, please? If you don't mind. Our precious Father, we want to thank you for your word that's gone for today. The Bible said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Father, we know that you can do the impossible. But we need to see it. We know that you can perform the same miracle we read about in the pages of the Bible today. Therefore, Father, I want to lift up all the men and women and boys and girls who has been under the hearing of my voice today into your hands. Because I have shared your word, because I have preached your word, Lord, and I know that your word has got enough power to perform those miracles that they are expecting from you. By the authority of the word of God, as a minister of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I want to lift up to you, Father, today, everyone in this auditorium, in this room, who is going through any kind of pains in their body, or those who are going through some kind of incurable health situations. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke every demon and evil spirit that is behind those incurable sicknesses in your bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. And I begin to loose God's healings to flow through your body, through your bloodstream. I cause every blood disease, blood infections to the roots in the name of Jesus. And I loose the resurrection power of God that lifted Jesus Christ from death to life to flow through your entire body, to heal every sickness in your body. I rebuke every pain in your body to the roots in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you as you just reach out, oh Lord Jesus Christ, and touch every individual in the room today and make them well in their spirit, in their soul, in their bodies. Father, we want to thank you. We want to bless you. We want to worship you for touching your people today through your word and for touching them today supernaturally by your presence in the church today. Father, thank you for the ministry of Bob and his wife. Thank you, Father, for the leadership in the church here as they come together in unity, O Lord, that you will just begin to do great things through them in this community. Father, we bless you. We give you all the glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Do me a favor and say amen. Thank you very much.